Some years ago, a forest fire swept through Yellowstone National Park. Thousands of acres of forest were burned, and in the days following the fire, forest rangers combed the park, surveying the damage. One group of rangers came upon the carcass of a bird where it had stood its ground against the fire. And as the ranger touched it, the carcass disintegrated into ash, and from underneath its wings emerged three baby birds. The mother bird had apparently called her chicks to her as the fire raged and held them tightly under her wings, protecting them against the flames and the heat. The three chicks were miraculously unharmed. The mother bird's sacrifice had saved her babies. The gift of sacrificial love is ingrained in us from creation. In the beginning, God created, infusing all of creation with God's breath. In that breath, which caused every living thing to come into being, we find the DNA of our Creator, our characteristics, our shape, our minds, our hearts, our understanding of love and of sacrifice. It all comes from God, who has loved us with an everlasting love. The first letter of John declares to Jesus' followers, "Dear friends, let us love one another." But love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, and this is how God showed God's love among us. God sent God's one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. Friends, I said to you at the start of the service that I believe it is still my responsibility as your pastor to give you my theological reflection on what happened at General Conference these past 2 weeks. I have read several social media posts from friends who were there or people who were watching closely from their homes. There has been a big mix of emotions. I'm going to say a little more about that in a moment. But friends, I know that you are bound to hear someone say that they think the Methodist Church is wrong to fully embrace LGBT persons. You will undoubtedly hear some pushback, some comments that suggest the United Methodist Church is, and I'm putting this in quotes, giving in to societal pressure or following culture's lead by welcoming LGBTQ persons as clergy, by accepting gay marriage in the church, by refusing any longer to persecute or punish clergy who perform gay weddings. Hear me say this. I do not believe this is the church succumbing to culture or society. I believe this is the church catching up to the fully inclusive love of God who made all persons in God's image. Let me read again those verses from the first letter of John. God is love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is made complete in us. Notice what this first letter attributed to John does not proclaim. John does not say, love people if they think like we think. John says we ought to love all the people. John does not say, love people if they follow your rules. John says we ought to love all the people. John does not say God only loves people who fit certain criteria. John says God's love lives in us all. The only contingency John names says we should love others because God loves us. That's the end of it. God loves us, therefore we love one another. That's that vine and branches imagery Jesus shared to his disciples. Abide in me and I will abide in you. God will live in you through me. And so we love like God loves. We love our dark-skinned neighbors and our light-skinned neighbors and our neighbors who were born in other countries. We love our neighbors who are registered Democrats and our neighbors who are registered Republicans and our neighbors who never ever vote. We love our neighbors who attend Christian churches and who attend Jewish synagogues and who attend Muslim mosques and who don't attend any organized house of faith. We love our neighbors who belong to the Masonic Lodge and to the VFW and to the Rotary Club and those neighbors who don't believe in organized anything. And we love our neighbors who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or have other declarations of gender identity and sexual preference. It's like this little mathematical calculation. If God loves and God's love lives in us, then God's love lives in everyone. Therefore, we love everyone. And loving means listening. And it means giving space at the table, and it means yielding to those who have been marginalized until we all have an equal place and an equal voice. And so today we celebrate that we are members of a worldwide United Methodist Church that has finally, after 52 years, listened and responded and done away with language in our policy book, the Book of Discipline, that has caused harm to some of our siblings in Christ. We have eliminated the words that said homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. We have agreed that persons called to ministry will be evaluated on the basis of their faith and not on who they love. We have also eliminated vestiges of colonialism that lingered and held power over our siblings from outside the U.S. And maybe the most surprising part of this week is many of those changes passed without contention, without or with very little discussion, and by wide margins. Church, this is indeed a day of new beginnings. I say to you, hallelujah. But it's been a long time coming. I was just a child, as were many of you, in 1972, when that harmful language first entered our Book of Discipline. More than a lifetime for some United Methodists, and for those who have been deeply pained by the harm that language has been done, and have been deeply committed to its elimination, this day is bittersweet. I asked permission from my dear friend and colleague, Reverend Sarah Barron, to share her reflection. This is what she wrote this week on her social media. I don't know how many people were wise enough to know how bittersweet full inclusion would be. I wasn't. I expected pure sweetness. But the very moment my siblings were affirmed by our church, I felt my sadness and anger rise at all the losses, the lost lives, the lost calls, the lost years, the lost fullness, what could have been and isn't. The scars that never needed to be and are. Those who left because this day took too long. It hasn't eclipsed joy, but it is sure commingled. And so, dear ones, I beg you to be gentle with yourselves. This is a new day, but the old one left a lot of wounds to be healed, and the healing will take longer than the votes. Friends, I think her words embrace the essence of loving others as God has loved us. Because to love others enough to hear through our own joy and celebration, even through their joy and celebration, that there is also sadness and there is also grief and there is also a remembrance of things lost. Sacrificial love is setting aside our feelings to acknowledge the other and to empathize with them. I think it is also important to remember that while this vote passed, it was not unanimous. There remain United Methodists throughout the world today who are not 100% on board with these decisions. And I am not talking about those who have already left the United Methodist Church for another denomination. I'm talking about those who remain but do not share our joy. They too are our siblings in Christ. They too are beloved of God. We are called to love them too, even those who do not share our opinions. That is what it means to be God's people, beloved of God ourselves, loving others as Christ has loved us. So, yes, let us rejoice and celebrate this day. Celebrate the triumph of God's Spirit, the breath of fresh air that blows through the United Methodist Church today. But let us also leave a little space to remember that there have been sacrifices and losses along the way. Let us remember that keeping love at the center of our lives means giving ourselves for others, living sacrificially for others. Let us remember Jesus, who loved humanity so much that he willingly walked this earth and endured its imperfections, its hurts, its hatreds, to show us the path of love. God loves us, every one of us, completely, unconditionally. May we today strengthen our resolve to love one another, for God, in Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, has shown us the way. Amen.